Podcast People Fail. Hello and welcome to the 10th episode of What Most People Think Breaking News. Have I got a jingle yet for this? Breaking news. What most people think breaking news. Yeah, I'll just improvise it in the moment. But of course, we had to do one today because yesterday was Labour's election launch. I don't know. Were they expecting there to be a summer election? Had they booked a space? You know, like if there's a wedding and a couple just go off each other, you think, fuck it, we should still have a party. And Labour announced President Keir announced his big election push. It seemed like the firing gun on perhaps what will be a very long election campaign. And we got a first look at Labour's slogan, which was Labour's first steps, which I thought, look, I think that there were positives around yesterday for Labour and for Keir Starmer. You know, he had his tie off. He was working the room. You know, Keir. It was a different kind of Keir. Just chilled out. You know, chilled out, entertainer. But I think the slogan's weird. Labour's first steps. It sort of sounds like a record that you would keep of a baby. You know, what else are we going to have? Like Labour's first day at big school, waving Labour off to uni. It was a weird slogan, which I'm not sure will survive all the way to the election. But we're going to do a massive deep dive on everything that was said yesterday and how people reacted to it. Just on a personal note, I did the first gig yesterday at the 99 Club, which I pop up at sometimes, gigs, a bunch of gigs in London. And it was my first gig back after the tour, and I'm starting writing new gear. So if you wonder what the gestation period is for a tour show, it's from now. So this is May 2024. I'll carry on doing stuff in the clubs right from now to the end of the year. I'll do some new material gigs early next year. Then I'll do a work in progress thing in the autumn. And then in September of 2025, after all of that, I may just have enough jokes to occupy an hour on stage. I mean, it is quite a lot of, there's a lot of panning for gold in this game. There's a lot of panning for gold. And sometimes once you've sort of shook the comedy sieve from side to side, it does transpire that all you're left with is shit, essentially. This is how much it takes, you know. I will write. I mean, it's an incredibly low return ratio. If any other profession had as poor return ratio as comedy, it would scare you. Like, if pilots only landed their planes as often as comics came up with new material, we would still be using fucking steamboats. But the fact that this is a breaking news edition doesn't mean that we're not going to do the thank you and the fuck you. So the thank you is to, well, Keir Starmer, but this is for something that happened earlier in the week at PMQs. So Keir Starmer, it's quite a punchy exchange between Starmer and Sunak. I thought it was fairly even Stevens. I thought that Sunak held his own. I mean, obviously that there was this fear that there would be another MP defecting and crossing the floor. And it was quite funny, actually. Labour MPs, as the Tories were turning up to take their seats, they were doing a whoa sound, which is quite funny. I don't know if they'll be able to do that every week, but they certainly were able to play on the Tories' fears. And Starmer was trying to, this is the problem. So he was trying to get out a line in which he called Rishi Sunak a tech bro. Now, the problem is, right, is whenever, this happens with comedy as well, if you're writing for anyone or anyone's writing for you, the things that the person need to be organic and natural to them to say, because otherwise you'll come up with problems like this. I'm just going to play what he said now.
Mr. Speaker, he must be the only tech bro brother who can't work a debit card or send an email.
Do you know what? I know that people talk about all the Yaboo Punch and Judy politics at Westminster. It's just kind of funny seeing that level of immaturity, is that a bloke just tried to say a word, couldn't say it, and all the other lot were like, gutted, you fucking loser, easy for you to say, Starmer. And it was quite funny because Angela Rayner, who I think, I've always thought deep down, if I had to put my house in it, I'd say that she thinks that Keir Starmer is a bit of a fucking melt. She seemed to find it quite amusing. Let's not forget that he did try to sack her twice. I still don't know what he's trying. The only techno brother, right about now. The techno brother, check it out now. Which I think somebody pointed out on my Twitter, so I'm nicking that joke. See, say things that are organically in your voice. And then I think Sunak came back with something that was a bit, you know, it was a moment where he could have, look, if Sunak had just stood up and gone, easy for you to say, he got a massive laugh. But he said, this is a guy that thinks James Watt is a steam bro. I thought, what? So you have the win in your lap here, Rishi, and you did a nerd gag. You know, I get it. I'm connecting these two things. James Watt, who invented steam, that was a modern thing too. Keir doesn't understand it. Call him a steam bro. Yeah, and the moment sort of passed, but it did. You know, in a time where things are excessively easy for Keir Starmer, it was good to see him on the back foot a little bit. The fuck you is to Janet Street Porter. Like, I'm not going after Janet Street Porter here specifically, because I think she made some points on Loose Women while they were interviewing Rishi Sunak, which were fair. But there was just one line in what she said, which was always going to grab the news. She was speaking to Rishi Sunak and she said, you know, I think you're a good bloke. I think your heart's in the right place. But why do you hate pensioners? Right now, the reason for this, it was quite an interesting point she made afterwards, which was about fiscal drag and tax brackets and stuff. But it also goes back to the fact that last budget, yes, pensioners didn't, you know, make out on that particular budget. But I think if you look broadly for the current generation of pensioners as an age group, they are richer than working age people. They got cost of living costs at double the rate, even whether or not it was means tested, whether or not they needed it. There's the triple lock. It was just kind of a weird thing to say. And it was sort of interesting to look online where, you know, at first it was a very easy win. And it was a good win for Labour, isn't it? Because pensioners are sort of the Tories' home ground. Well, quite quickly, there was a lot of young people going like, I'm now in the weird position of having to stick up for Rishi Sunak. Because, I mean, if there's one thing the Tories have done, it is kind of feather the nest of pensioners, right? You know, from the financial crisis to COVID, pensioners are a massive block voting group and they've been catered to, which makes political sense. And some of the things that have been done for pensioners also make sense. But then to say that somebody hates pensioners. And what I didn't like about it was that kind of binary way of responding to an argument. Like, why do you support the genocide? You know, or why, you know, if you didn't support lockdown, why do you want grandma to die? It's that reductive argument whereby if you're not doing exactly what I think you should be doing, then you're directly opposed to what I believe in. And come on, pensioners listening, let's be honest, and look, if there are people there that are struggling, but on the whole, right, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, you bought your council house for £7, you ate all the cod in the North Sea, and I'll bet you any money next week you're off on another Viking River cruise.
What most people think.
Okay, all right, don't all shout at me at once. If you're annoyed by that, whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. Right, let's get on to talking about Keir's big launch, Labour fucking baby steps, whatever. Okay, so the first thing to say about this launch, what was it? I don't even know what it was. It was the first step. Were they pledges, Keir? No, they're not pledges, because then it would sound like Blair, even though I look like Blair and trying to sound like Blair and aping a lot of what Blair did. And he had 5 pledges and I've got 6. I mean, even that logic is something very David Brent about it. But it kind of looked the part. It was apparently on a film set. You know, so I'm guessing this was in Elstree or somewhere like that. They have these huge sound stages there that can be dressed to look like anything. And this one was very effectively dressed to look like there was a big crowd there, because apparently anyone that was there was in front of the camera, and behind it was just an empty chasm. And it started off, Wes Streeting got to speak. Angela fucking Rayner, she got to speak. And Rachel Reeves got to speak. I mean, isn't a lot of people rate Reeves, you know, a lot of centrists like Rachel Reeves, but she has got a kind of similar problem to Starmer, is that the voice is like, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a sort of braying nature about it. But they all spoke, and not David Lammy. One underrated thing about politics is we don't stop to think about the egos involved. It's sort of like a starting 11 for the cup final, isn't it? And they're going, all right, like Keir's the gaffer. He's like, okay, yeah, we're going to go in big here. We're going with the big guns. All right, we're going to go in. We really need this to land. And Lammy's there tightening up his studs, you know what I mean? Just spraying some deep heat on the back of his fucking knee. And he's like, so it's going to be Wes, Angela and Rachel. And it's going to be some bloke from Boots. And he's, I mean, you know, he's like, yeah, 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 boss. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're saving me for the really big games, right? Because this isn't even the election launch. This is like the fucking Papa John's trophy, right? Yeah, absolutely. You're giving the guy from Boots a go, even though he used to be David Cameron's mate. I mean, the thing with Boots, though, I was sort of thinking, if you were anti-Boots being that partisan, right? And I know the Tories have plenty of donors. There is no option whatsoever to boycott Boots, is there? Even if you wanted to. Because where the fuck else are you going to go, right? There is no game in town, right? Boots could do the worst shit. Do you know what I mean? Boots could be doing fucking testing on beagles. Testing out, like, not even necessary testing on beagles. proper, you know, the old fashioned testing where they used to put fucking lipstick on monkeys. They could do that. They could be selling you a beagle fur coat, and you go, seriously though, where else am I going to get mini toiletries for the holiday and a prescription all under one roof? So in fairness to Starmer, he had a style about him that was more natural than we've seen of late. You know, he, like I say, tie off, no lectern. Everyone else had to use a lectern, and then it was removed for Keir. You know, like when a big band are coming on, the support band have that weird little wanky stage, and then they go, right, fuck off, we're going to turn the sound system up now because Keir's coming. Rock and roll Keir, tie off, chilled out. And he was more natural than I've seen him. I just had a way of talking. It was a little bit more engaging. It wasn't quite as, you know, constipated. If ever a voice was constipated, it's Keir Starmer's voice. His voice needs some prunes. But I did still drift off very early, you know, because there is that problem with him talking where it just sort of, as I said on the tour, it sort of ends up sounding a bit like in the Night Garden. And, you know, it's still largely the talk was centred on his values. But it's a definite improvement, right? I would say that in some ways he should try and poach some of the writing team for Sunak, because even though Sunak is very much fucking swimming against the tide, there's somebody in his team that seems to be able to get away a punchy phrase or two. And there's still a lot of fucking word salad with Keir. And it's not even the good lettuce leaves, do you know what I mean? Do you remember the iceberg lettuces in the 90s when they took off and it was just like, you're like, this is 98% water and 2% green. There is no nutrition to this. It's the same as like, I think like tomatoes and cucumbers now are a bit better than they were. But there was a period in that real cheap, like supermarket wars era where cucumbers were just the shape of cucumbers. They were like fucking reminiscent of cucumbers, you know? And then, do you remember that? You go to Spain, and then you go, oh, do you know what I do love about coming to Spain is the tomatoes actually taste like tomatoes. That was it. That's what British people love. And you can still get chips and tomatoes. Now, the slogan, Labour's First Steps, I mean, they could not be doing more to manage expectation. In a weird way, it's sort of like we're rebooting the franchise, right? This isn't Labour. Like, this isn't Labour. It's an old Labour. It's a new Labour. This isn't Corbyn Labour. This is like Labour. We've gone right back to the origin story. You know, it's Peter Parker getting bit by the fucking socialist spider. I've said on social media, I was keeping this under my sleeve in case they nicked it, he said, being arrogant enough to think that anyone listens or thinks that he has good ideas. The slogan I would have gone with is getting Britain back on its feet, right? Now, the reason I would have done this is because I think one of the things that they clearly want to do is to remind the public at every turn of everything that's wrong, right? They don't want to acknowledge the lingering effects of the financial crisis, you know, managing Brexit, COVID, gas prices, Ukraine, Middle East. None of that. It's bad, and every single bit of it is the Tories' fault, right? If you want to plant that in people's minds, getting Britain back on its feet suggests that Britain is off its feet, right? But we're going to get it back on its feet, you know, just back on its feet. We'll put it in the fucking recovery position. You know, it's got the word Britain in as well. It's a modest ambition, which definitely seemed to be the theme of this to a large degree. I mean, the pledges, right? Let's go through the pledges. Number one, deliver economic stability. So what happened to, weren't they saying that they were going to be the fastest sustained growth in the G7? They've sort of realised that that is a fucking weird thing to promise because you have no control over what the other European countries are going to do or what stimulus packages, you know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. So they've downgraded that. Cut NHS waiting times. I would think that would be the sort of focus of any government, right? You know, no one's going to say we're going to keep NHS waiting times exactly as they are. We might increase them if we have the capacity. So 40,000 appointments, right? But when they questioned him, they sort of said, how quickly are you going to get to that? He's like, well, we don't know. We just fucking might as well have not said it then. Number three, launch a border security command. So this is very solid ground for Starmer. Smash the criminal gangs. Smash them. It is hard when he tries to come off like a tough guy, isn't it? Like, mate, come on. You look like a geography teacher. Chill out. Fine. He's not, because he can't do Rwanda, so he's got to say something. Well, he feels like he's got to say something for the Red War, or people are worried about illegal migration. Number four, set up Great British Energy. I don't know what that means, but I think the public will broadly think that's a good thing, right? Great British Energy, you know, it's just a nice idea, right? I don't know what substance it is. And, you know, as I've had correspondence recently, a similar localised version of that in Nottingham went up the shitter very quickly. But the public will like that. What they think that means is they'll just get cheaper electricity, whether or not, you know, that will come out in taxation. People just, you know, people won't really pick up on that for now. Crackdown on antisocial behaviour. I mean, this is taking us right back to New Labour. Are they going to bring back ASBOs? Are they going to bring back ASBOs? I'd love it if they brought back ASBOs. Do you remember when it was like a badge of honour? Do you remember they go, this lad's got 17 ASBOs. And then you go, but he seems proud about it. And he's going for number 18. Could be Olympic sport, wouldn't it? He's got a 17th ASBO, but now he's in an alleyway late at night, on a weeknight, and he's smoking weed. And he is playing music out of his phone. All right, let's see if he can do it. Those lads always have the smelliest weed as well, don't they? You're like, where? Look, first up, stop it. Secondly, where do you get that weed? recruit 6,500 new teachers. Okay. I don't know what the government's plans are. I mean, some of these do sound like things that are already ambitions of the government, but fair enough. He's got to set his stall out. 6,500 new teachers. Will that be because there'll be a lot of kids whose parents will no longer be able to afford private school, so that's how many you'll just need anyway? Like, you literally take that money out of there and put it... I mean, well, let's have a think. Average class sizes of 25, right? Let's do the maths. Could it plausibly be that would literally be to cover the migration? All right, 6,500 times 25 equals... No, I mean, 162.5. You're talking shit, Jeff. But yeah, a good ambition. Again, I'm not sure if there was any clarity on when that might happen. So, you know, the thing about this is these pledges, steps, whatever the fuck they want to call them, is they don't actually have to be that ambitious, do they? Because of the poll lead, because of the feelings people have about the government. It's sort of kind of like, I hate to use a cricket. Well, I don't hate to use a cricket analogy. I love it. It's kind of like a run chase where time isn't an issue, isn't it? It's like a small target. Oh, no, a big target, because they've got to get a swing, but they've like got 2.5 days to do it. The pitch is an absolute road, and the bowlers are like sort of like 65-year-olds with back problems. Okay, we'll get back to Labour's steps. But in the meantime, my book, The British Bloke Decoded, the paperback, is out on June the 6th. And so if you're one of those people you just can't be doing with lugging around the big thing, even though I would say it's good resistance training, you can get this book. It's got all sorts in it about why men, as they get older, they get more interested in World War II, right? I'm in that place listening to podcasts. Sometimes I make up reasons to go for a walk just so I can listen to yet another perspective on Verdun. I also talk about, you know, the problems with male friendships as we get older, why the WhatsApp group is the best place for men to be friends, because it's kind of like an online pub. So yeah, you probably enjoy reading that if you like the way I talk about gender and blokes on this podcast. Also, if you've got a dad or a partner and Father's Day's coming up, come on, I'm giving you the easy option. Get on Waterstones, get the book. But overall, I'm trying to be fair. You know, I'm trying to be your one-stop shop for balance here. And I think that overall, it was decent. It was better than I expected. But in the questions, this is where it seemed to come undone a little bit. The first few were about his abandonment of previous positions, right? Which seems to me like the most obvious thing that people would say to him. Once upon a time, you said this, and now you said this. Why should people trust you? But he genuinely seemed hurt. God, yeah, I mean, it's a bit weird that you bring that up. Jeez, on my big day. he sort of garbled a bit, never addressed. So there was like 3 or 4 questions that were directly about this. And he garbled a bit, didn't really address the questions. And then tried to get back onto a talking point that he wanted to talk about. And then almost mid-sentence just went, thank you very much. Out of nowhere, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Was he fucking Max Bygraves? Or he was like a comedian, a corporate act that just realised that it's going shit and I'm getting off stage immediately. It's just odd. I find that very, very strange that he hasn't war-gamed that. Or maybe it just goes to something at his emotional core whereby maybe he is a lovely bloke and he really does want good things for people and the compromises he's made were hard for him. But none of that fucking matters. It's politics. It's a brutal game. And, you know, when Beth Rigby or Chris Mason stand up, they're going to ask him about it and he better have a better answer, you know, come the live debates, because they're just going to keep coming. You know, if you look at what he said to win the leadership, if you look even what he was saying about Labour policy not that long ago, he's abandoned pretty much every belief he's had. Now, he can put a lot of that to the, you know, the Tory mortgage premium or Rishi's recession or all this stuff. But the speed and glee with which he's abandoned some of these positions will certainly raise eyebrows on the left. And another point to make on this note was that the journalists getting up all started speaking to him by saying, hi, Keir. Hi, Keir. Is that really, is that how we speak to people now? I mean, and that passed without much notice. And some people that for a long time were saying that the only reason that Boris Johnson was in power and that Brexit were happening and probably that GB News exists was because we were calling Boris Boris. Suddenly, we're all going, hi, Keir. Hi, Keir. I mean, was that what he said? Because I guess because he's a sir. He probably doesn't want to be called Sir Keir because that just that goes against the, my dad was a tool maker. Yeah, and he made a right fucking tool in you, didn't he? Hey, come on, it was there to be hit. But is this going to be like a sort of centrist dad version of Dear Leader? You know, in 15 years from now, when we're in a kind of centrist dad fascist dictatorship, we just call him, hi, Keir. Hi, Keir. Hello, everybody. Hi, Keir. In a big stadium.
What most people think.
One thing that I've always struggled with to buy with Starmer is this idea that he's sort of reluctantly stepping up to the plate when the country needs him most, you know. Look, this, he said for a long time, this is not about me, big prime minister. And he goes, oh, all right, but let's look at your career, okay? Director of Public Prosecutions, he mentions that. Sometimes, you know, everything about the way he's approached his political career since he entered office, you know, the way he moves positions on Brexit, stayed in the shadow cabinet with Corbyn when other moderates didn't, you know, moved his position on Brexit, you know, changed his, like, he's, everything has been laser focused on getting power. And I know a lot of Labour supporters like Blairites be going, yes, Jeff, that's the fucking point. Get in power and then you can do stuff. But just drop the act then, mate. Just drop the act. You know, yeah, well, I fucking want to be prime minister because I think I'd be good at it. I'd love it if he said that. Oh, I don't want to be prom king. Yes, you fucking do. That's why, you know, you're going around trying to curry favour. Yeah, it's just, I'm just struggling to buy it. And the Labour movement, you know, or the Labour Party as such, because of this poll lead, it's sort of leading them to project things onto Keir Starmer that he just doesn't possess. It's like they know they're going to win. So they're like, they want him to be something that he can't be. I mean, he's improving, you know, at times, although he's still out of nowhere will just have a very strange PMQs or a weird defensive interview when he's asked. Yeah, he's good on the attack, right? He's good at telling people you're a bad person or Partygate was your fault. This was on your watch, you know. All of that stuff is absolutely in his sweet spot. But whenever he's pushed on anything about him, he goes to pieces and it's really fucking odd. And so, you know, if Labour are going to build a presidential campaign around a guy who at best seems like a mid-level bureaucrat, I think that that is going to be a bit like, you know, in 2017, when it's somewhat inexplicably the Tories tried to make Theresa May a presidential type figure because they saw that her approval ratings compared to Corbyn were really good. Never thought that that might be a comparative thing. And then they were like, oh, the public love Theresa. We just got to put Theresa front and centre. And then poor old Theresa, you know, she choked a bit. You know, her voice went into open rebellion about her. She tried to dance her way out of it. You know, it was a hard watch. So, you know, I mean, maybe there's some parallels there. She went into election with a 20-point lead and blew it. I don't see that happening here. But look, the point is, all any of these criticisms don't matter, right? The truth is, the press were somewhat surprisingly impressed by the big screens and how glitzy it was. They were like, oh, I guess because they go to so many shit events, right? And I bet they had a good spread. Do you know what I mean? Proper metropolitan elite spread, you know, fresh prawns and shit, sushi. And, you know, the press were impressed by the casual shirt approach, right? They were, oh, it's a different Keir. We're seeing a different Keir here. And even if he is weak defending his own character, he can just turn around and go, look, I mean, this was something I should have said at the top of the show, actually, right? Right, I've got to tie in something here. So I was talking about doing new material. And I, for a laugh, just went out and said, oh, I feel sorry for Rishi Sunak. And it was so funny how angry that made the audience. They were like, fuck up. Like, really, there's a few women in the front row just like folding their arms, turning their head away from me. And it just made me want to do it more. To be honest, it's the most I've trolled an audience since the Brexit years. I was just going, no, I just think he's misunderstood. I think he's trying his best. People need to cut him some slack. And because what's happened now is the criticisms of the Tories are slightly overvalued in a way. They've become a metaphor for sort of like everything that's wrong, right? It's sewerage, it's the Tories. Fair point. All right, the economy crashed. Did it really? But, you know, mortgages went up. It's the Tories. Fair enough. My wife left me. It's the Tories. It's expanded to a catch-all blame prism for every single thing that's happening. So to tie this back to what I was saying, even if Keir Starmer is a little bit unconvincing, even if he's got a slightly weak nasal voice that sounds like he's got fucking polystyrene plugs up his nose, right? Even if he is surprisingly weak defending his own character. Sunak can go at him with that, and he can just turn around and go, people are poorer. The rivers are full of sewage. And this will make people clap, right? Because they'll just be angry about these things. So, I mean, why do you hate pensioners? That's it. Just, I mean, in fairness, right? Keir Starmer, it did sort of do, his team did do a campaign where they tried to imply that Rishi sort of didn't mind paedophiles. So maybe, you know, if not all of that fails, just go, why do you hate pensioners? Why do you love Nazis? And the truth is, the public's so angry, even though both of those things are factually inaccurate and slanderous and wrong, it'll still get a massive fucking round of applause and Labour will still win the election. Okay, so yeah, look, what do you think of my analysis there? If you want to email in whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com, if you want to get this podcast early, ad-free and with bonus content, and obviously there's a direct line for Patreons to message me, and I see that more or less immediately and always respond to a Patreon message, then do go to Patreon and find What Most People Think. Jeff Norcott, just so you know. You can know how to search for stuff, right? Google's been around a while. I still feel that, think of Google as like something a bit new, a bit like, you know the show Tipping Point with Ben Shepherd? I said, that new game show format. I think it started in 2012. I still think of Starbucks. Oh my God, this is the old one. I still think of Starbucks as this young, funky coffee brand. And then I was watching like a rom-com from like 1997 and there was a Starbucks in London. So listen, Labour are going to win the election and we're all getting older. All right, see you next week.